In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast led our footsteps to this place at this moment, where we can gather before God's Word and be refreshed and nourished with Thy holy and undying Word of truth. We thank Thee that Thou hast preserved us through the night. We thank Thee for this kingdom that You have granted us to awaken and given us yet one more day of grace. As we begin these services, dear Father, we ask of Thee that Thou would be with us. Be with us in spirit, and grant us those words that are needed for our life of faith this day. Remember all them, dear Father, who are in the midst of trials and difficulties of life. You know their lot in life. You know their situation. Uplift them and comfort them, dear Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. On September 28th, Tanner, Colette, and Anika Willett will join in the holy matrimony, and they will get married in this church. And on behalf of these two, we want to quiet our hearts in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray unto You on behalf of these young that are about to get married. Keep them in faith and make their home a believing home. Amen. I will read God's Word, one of the texts that are set aside for this Sunday, and it is found in the second book of the Chronicles, in its first chapter. I will read verses 7 through 12. And the words that we hear are in Jesus' name as follows. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge thy people that is so great? And God said unto Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. Amen. The topic for consideration for this Sunday is a topic that affects all of us, especially as we begin to age just a little bit, but also from a very early age. And the topic is, I don't remember the exact wording, but it is to care for the God-given gifts that you have received. And we know that these gifts are used in many different ways and in many different places. When we converse with one another at work, we are using the God-given gifts. In fact, that is how we can retain our jobs. But more importantly, those are used in the work of God's kingdom, so that the work that God intends his people to do for the kingdom to continue to prosper according to God's will, those gifts are needed. And in this text, this gift, the caring of this gift, comes forth, and it was one of the texts for this Sunday. Many of you Sunday school kids are already familiar with King Solomon, and certainly us a little bit older, we have heard of King Solomon, of his life. And those writings that Solomon has also written in many, many chapters in our Bible, most of the knowledge that we gather from King Solomon is in the first book of Kings and in this book of Chronicles that we read. And also Solomon has written the the book of Ecclesiastes, and I think that he has also written a few of the Psalms in the Old Testament. Solomon was a son of King David and Bathsheba. And we will not go into the relation of David and Bathsheba too long, but just briefly, I'm sure you remember that King David fell into sin with Bathsheba and conceived a child in adultery. And their first son died in childbirth. And their second son was Solomon. At this time, Bathsheba was still married to Uriah, whom David sent to the front lines where the battle was the most fierce and violent. And in this way, killed Bathsheba's husband so that he could marry Bathsheba. As Solomon began to grow and get a little bit older, King David was still the king, and at the end of King David's reign, Solomon was the successor to David and took over the throne of his father David. As King Solomon begins his rule and reign, God, here in our text, as we heard in the very first text, verse that we read, that in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, "Ask what I should give thee." God tells Solomon that whatever you desire, ask that of me, that I will give thee anything that thou desire. So what did Solomon ask for? Solomon asked for wisdom. As we can read, especially in this Old Testament, when those kings that ruled over Israel, there was much war, and they fought against their neighboring countries. That we would think that as a king that is ruling over the people and ruling that country, that as a king, they would want a time of peace, where nobody is threatening your country. That perhaps Solomon would ask, or any king, when being presented this question, to ask this wish to ask, what of all things, what would you like the most? That they would ask for destruction of their enemies so that they do not threaten. But King Solomon, who was believing at this time, he realizes that he needs a greater wisdom and greater knowledge to rule his people and to rule that country in the right kind of way. That he needed more wisdom than he currently was possessing. What is wisdom? Is wisdom knowledge and information? Somebody who is able to, or who knows the answer to questions that we might have. One thing in our lives, especially at this time, in almost every house you can find at least one computer, smartphone, something that is able to process information very quickly and accurately. In that way, those machines are programmed with full of knowledge, data, and information to be able to produce the answer that we are looking for. But at least I have not heard that anyone has said that that is a very, very wise computer or a wise smartphone or whatever it may be. When I think of somebody who is wise, my thoughts go to someone who has lived already a long life. Somebody that is able to look back to things that already has taken place, but also to the best of their knowledge, that they would also be able to look forward to what might happen. And then, to the best of their knowledge and ability, they would then proceed forward with things that or in this way that they can weigh the past experiences and the likely future happenings and make a decision accordingly. But we also know that in the word wisdom, there is so much that is contained within that one word that we cannot even think of all those things. But King Solomon, we could say that his request was very simple and unselfish. He asked God that I would like you to give me wisdom and knowledge so that I can rule these people. And then he asks that for who is able to judge thy people that is so great. In making this request, Solomon, we could say that he pleases God with this answer, and he receives so much wisdom that scriptures say, as we heard at the end of our text, that there has been no king before Solomon, nor will there be one after Solomon that have the same amount of wisdom and knowledge that Solomon had. Solomon reigned the people of Israel as a king for 40 years. And the country of Israel prospered during his time. And many of the kings and queens from faraway countries came specifically to Israel to meet with King Solomon and to speak to him because his wisdom, the word of his wisdom, had gone about to many different countries, that he is so wise and knowledgeable and is able to make the right decisions for his country and the people that he rules over. That they wanted to, the other kings and queens, they wanted to experience this and educate themselves through King Solomon. In the first book of Kings, there is a very interesting story that maybe you can read. I believe it's in the early pages of the first book of Kings. I'm not going to read it now, but it's in the at the very end of third chapter in first book of Kings, where there is a display of the wisdom of King Solomon. Two women come before Solomon, and they have one baby boy with them. And one of the women tells Solomon that we delivered a baby boy at the same time, both of us. And during the night, one of the boys, this other woman's boy, died. And she placed that dead baby boy into my bed, and she took my live baby into her own bed. And now she has my son who is living. Her son is dead. And this other woman begins to dispute this speech of the other woman. And she says that, no, this is my son. King Solomon displays his wisdom when he says that I think that the right thing to do. Well, first he asked one of his servants to bring a sword. So then he takes the sword and he says that I think the right thing to do is that we will divide this baby boy who is alive, divide it in two, and I will give one half to you and one half to the other." So the mother of this little boy stopped King Solomon and said, "No, do not do this. Don't kill this boy. Give it to the other woman. I don't want my son to die." And the other woman said that, "I think that is fair. Let's divide it into two. That way we both get one half." And I'm sure you can detect who the rightful mother was of this son. And David said that, "You who did not want this boy to die, it is your son. Give this boy to that woman." And in this way, he displayed his wisdom and ordered this boy to reunite once again with his original and rightful mother. As King Solomon is beginning his reign as a king over the people of Israel, he felt that he needed God's help to be a just and responsible king. He wanted to serve God, and he wanted to serve others as well. He did not want to serve his own good. And we can see, and it is also a reminder unto us, we so easily think of what our needs are, what we need, and what we would like. And that thought is so much in the forefront that many times we forget to consider those that are around us, those that are most important to us, our immediate family. But also our friends, our brothers and sisters in faith, and our unbelieving neighbors. King Solomon put his needs after the needs of others. And we could say that this is a very humble and a healthy way to start his reign. I remember I was here. I came here for the first time in 1989, and I was here for 2 years. And when I came here, you had an election. You were choosing a new president. And I can't remember where I was, but as the inauguration was taking place, it was very striking how during that time the president that was going to preside over this country the next 4 years, he began his presidency with the Lord's Prayer. And that was very foreign to me, coming from Sweden, where most of the Swedish people, they are not God-fearing people, not near to the same degree as those that live in this country. And this would be totally foreign for me, at least, to hear this kind of prayer when a leader of one country is going to take his office, his or her office. So when I heard the president to be recite the Lord's Prayer, I thought that it was a really a neat and healthy way to ask for God's guidance in his presidency. Also, in this way, when we pray unto God, as we do before we begin our services, we pray because we feel our own sinfulness, smallness, our own lackings that we wish to ask for God's guidance and help as we gather together. Wisdom begins by humbling ourselves before God. And I believe in Proverbs, in the 9th chapter, and I can't remember what verse it is, it says that the fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. And this certainly is true. So as God has granted a certain amount of wisdom for all his people, he also grants them gifts that we use to provide for ourselves and our families, but also gifts that we can help one another, gifts that the work in God's kingdom can continue to go forward. One part in wisdom is that we would use these gifts according to the way that God intended us to use them. Solomon, in our text, he asked for wisdom to be able to choose the right path as difficulties and decisions arise. Many times we come, you could say, to a fork in the road. Solomon was asking for God's guidance. Have you, brother and sister, experienced this in your life? When a situation arises, when you come to this fork in the road, where do I go? What are we supposed to do? Isn't this the prayer that we also have? That God would lead and guide our thoughts and our decisions. If you would continue to read this second book of Chronicles, you would be able to see that God, for a number of years, in fact, the next 40 years in the life of Solomon, He blessed Solomon's life abundantly. And He gave Solomon so many different gifts and riches and wealth and knowledge to rule the right way so that His people would prosper. All these gifts are from God. Many of you that are here, you have duties in God's kingdom. What did we do to achieve these gifts that are needed so that God's congregation, this congregation in Cocado, as one of them, has been able to move forward and be blessed to this degree? We have done nothing to achieve the gifts that we have. They have been given, granted unto you as a gift. But as we begin our duty to do God's work, whatever that duty may be, I'm sure we have this mutual prayer to God, not even knowing what we should pray for. But I think if we would shorten those prayers to just a couple words, I'm sure the words would be, "Help me. Help me do the right thing. Help me accept the duty that I have been assigned by you." We certainly feel that there are others that are more capable of doing our work, our part, that they are better suited. They have better gifts than I do. In fact, anyone but me would be better. The kingdom of God is such a kingdom that luckily, and as it is ordained by God, God is not searching for people that can do no wrong. He is not searching for people that have perfect talent, that never make mistakes. As we have been able to experience, we are all as little children before God, and in our duties, we are all learning together. We are helping one another. We can lean on one another. But the kingdom of God is a kingdom of order. We want to structure things so that everything is not a chaos and disorder, but a kingdom of order. But so quickly, when we are presented with our duties, we are so quick and so ready in our minds and perhaps even out loud voice and point out our deficiencies, our lackings, our weaknesses, and how we would not be the right candidate for whatever the duty is. Isn't this the way we feel? But dear brother and dear sister, this is God's work. It is God's plan. Even these sins, I'm sure that you have felt that you have fallen in light of God's word when it comes to this. All your sins, all your faults are forgiven. Believe all your sins and faults, these doubts even forgiven, in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. God calls His workers very carefully, regardless of what your duty may be. And together we do God's work for God's purpose. And even though you may look within yourself and say that you don't have any gifts, and the little you have is not quite enough, your gifts are needed. The gifts in God's kingdom, they are dispersed so unevenly, but yet they are dispersed and handed, gifted to us by God very carefully for this reason, that we serve so many different purposes. In this way, God's kingdom can continue to prosper and to flourish, to achieve what God wants us to do. The request that was presented to me a few years ago certainly was not an easy request to accept. I can't even begin to explain or tell you that what exactly went through my mind. But it was a flurry of things, and I guess the only thing that I was, when I began to think that what this actually means, I have to say that it felt like a big bomb had just went off in my little world. And I guess one thing that I can say is that the thought was that this is impossible. It's not going to work. You don't know who I am. You don't know me. But as time goes on, God gives unto you what you need for that day. But I certainly feel my lackings and so unworthy to come to this place. Can you, brothers and sisters, forgive me for all my sins? Whatever our gifts are, they are needed to continue to carry forward God's work. And God will reward you, brother and sister, one day for your faithfulness to rely on God's help. And we don't need to dwell on the burden, on the things that we think will affect our lives, our personal lives, in a negative way when we do God's work. Yes, they will take up some of your time. Yes, you need to concentrate to weigh different things, to have the right decisions. We can rejoice that God has remembered you in your life, regardless of how seemingly little your duty is. Some that are in God's kingdom had been placed here because they are such good listeners. They are able to listen to the Psalms of those that feel that they are burdened, that are speaking of their own weaknesses and faults. Listeners are needed. They are able to comfort those who are in need of comfort. Even though not everyone is able to understand somebody else's duty, in the work of God's kingdom. Yet, they are able to listen and partake of your concerns to the degree that they can. Rejoice that you have been called to carry the work forward that God has ordained us to do and has called us to do. Do we need the same wisdom that Solomon did? Is it in our best interest to pray for this wisdom? I'm sure that we would all say that it absolutely is. Even though, as our text said in the 9th verse, Solomon speaks unto God and says that, "For thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude." Even though we do not make decisions that affect millions of people as it did in the life of Solomon, Solomon wanted and prayed unto God to receive the wisdom to lead and live his life, to lead the people in the right way, to keep them on this narrow way to heaven. In this way, it is also our prayer in our lives that we would pray for the same wisdom, that we can be a light unto those who are important to us there in our homes, to our children, to our extended families, our friends, our co-workers, and for you school children, to those students that are around you. Pray for this wisdom so that God can be this light before your feet, that you are endeavoring a life, leading a life of a child of God. This is our wish, that we would remain to be and end our days as a child of God in God's kingdom. There is a portion in, if I can find it, but it speaks of wisdom in the book of James, if I can in the book of James, it speaks of this wisdom and how important it is for us to pray for this wisdom, and how great of a gift this wisdom is in the life of a child of God. In its 3rd chapter, the last 5 verses, verses 13 through 18. We will end our services with these words. Who is a wise man and endueth with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. The wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this moment that You have granted unto us. We have been able to be and read Thy holy and undying Word. Our trust is, dear Father, as You have written in this book in the Bible, that Your Word will not return empty unto Thee, but of that Word has been taken that portion that we need for our life of faith. Securely we pray unto Thee, dear Father. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.